The scandal caused by President Richard Nixon, his resignation, and high inflation and unemployment rates made things worse.
In Washington, a break-in at the Watergate Hotel was found to involve five men in the pay of the committee to re-elect President Nixon. The burglar's target was the office of the chairman of the Democratic Party. The story was to make the names of two young local reporters from the Washington Post.
The catastrophe following Nixon's corruption case and the Watergate scandal gripped American rulers by the collar. They had realized that public opinion needed to calm down. And just like in the past, the superheroes were the best options. In one of the comic stories in this period, Captain America, with his fake copy, namely the Captain America in the 1950s who fought for the U.S. Army, tells himself, "I've never fought with my own demonic part. A man with patriotic dreams, I'm responsible for the evil he did." Captain America was fighting with a sinister empire that wanted to take control of the U.S. In the end, he captured head of the White House, and by removing his mask, he realized the U.S. president was the head of the evil group. The story is about disgraced Nixon administration. This time, unlike the previous times, the captain didn't become happy after achieving victory, and he abandons the fight. He loses faith in Americans and chooses to become a stateless man. He says, "I've done things that I don't take pride in anymore, but I always tried to serve my country well. Now I can see that the government is serving itself." The bitter taste of those days made Spider-Man stories bitter. Something rare happened in Spider-Man. Mary Jane, Spider-Man's fiancée, was killed in a fight. Spider-Man blamed himself for Mary Jane's death and never stopped reprimanding himself following the incident. It was similar to how Americans felt about their government. Marvel adopted this line and made social criticism in its stories. DC also tried to become aligned with social developments to some extent. So, it introduced a real hero against the power structure in America in its stories. He was the greatest and the eternal boxer, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali won the Olympic gold medal at the age of 20. He was always against the government because of the oppression against the black community. And because of his stance, he didn't join the army so he wouldn't be forced to fight for the U.S. Army in Vietnam. Muhammad Ali was a symbol of resistance against U.S. dominance, and he had become an international figure. And DC used the popular hero. In one of the stories, Superman, who's a symbol of America, was defeated by Muhammad Ali in a boxing bout. Later, they made up a team to save the planet from aliens. In the end, Muhammad Ali wins in a boxing competition against the aliens, and Earth was saved. The Pictorial story became the best-selling comic in the late 1970s. After Ronald Reagan took office in the 1980s, he made the government smaller but expanded the army. The conflict with the Soviets escalated, and American citizens' nationalistic support boosted thanks to professional media techniques. Reagan, who was formerly a movie star, knew very well how to act like a hero. Amid the Soviet threats and the Cold War, many people were scared of widespread crime. The Reagan administration was an avid proponent of individualism and consumerism, while the population was more scared of the violence. In Night of Darkness, there's a character of the president in the city of Gotham. It shows a cartoon of Reagan and his nationalistic speech.
Brave American forces are now engaged in direct combat with Soviet troops in Corto Maltese. Now those Soviets would like to see us turn our tails and run. But we've got to protect our interest, stand up for freedom. So don't you fret, we've got God on our side. Or the next best thing, anyway.
The city was about to collapse because of injustice. In the real world, on December 22, 1984, a citizen from New York named Bernard Goetz shot thieves with 4 bullets to defend himself. People sympathized with him, and the court that had already indicted Goetz acquitted him. He became the symbol of a person who has provided security and safety for himself in a chaotic world. He saved himself through his acts of violence. The situation provided comic books with sufficient ammo, and new characters stepped in. In response to the world of violence, 3 characters, namely Punisher, Daredevil, and Logan, torture their enemies through the most violent methods and would kill them after they lost a lot of blood.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of Chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode. Now let's listen to 153rd and 4th verses of this chapter, Chapter Shu'ara.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
قالوا إنما أنت من المسحرين.
They said, you are only of those affected by magic.
ما أنت إلا بشر مثلنا فأت بآية إن كنت من الصادقين.
You are but a man like ourselves, so bring a sign if you should be of the truthful.
The 153rd verse says, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُسَحَّرِينَ The 154th one, مَا أَنْتَ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا فَأْتِ بِآيَةٍ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ They said, you are only of the bewitched ones. مَا أَنْتَ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا You are no more than a mortal like us. فَأْتِ بِآيَةٍ So bring you a sign. إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ If you are one of the truthful. As you were with us in the previous episodes, dear listeners, we were discussing the story of people of Thamud and their prophet, Prophet Salih. He criticized them by saying that why do you think you will be left secure in the enjoyment of what you have built? أَتُتْرَكُونَ فِيمَا هَهُنَا آمِنِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعْيُونَ You think that these gardens and springs, these cornfields and date palms with slender spades will remain for you forever? وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ He said, you make houses skillfully out of the mountains exultingly and joyfully without even thinking who brought you these blessings. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ Be in awe of Allah and obey me. This is what the Prophet told them. وَلَا تُطِيعُوا أَمْرَ الْمُسْرِفِينَ الَّذِينَ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُسْلِحُونَ He introduced the ones who are extravagant as مُفْسِدِينَ And he said that these do not qualify for being your leaders. You are not to follow them. And upon the importance of extravagance and being careful about this important issue, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, the outside corruption originates from the inside corruption. Whoever improves his inside, Allah will improve his outside. And whoever proves treacherous with Allah in secret, Allah will make his secret manifest in outside. This is about which Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam says, being unjust to the servants of Allah causes the hereafter to be corrupted. In response to this criticizing of their prophet, they said, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُسَحَّرِينَ You are only of the bewitched ones. The point is that all the prophets of the Almighty Allah were denigrated, were accused by two things: being a sorcerer or being bewitched. They called their prophets even sahir or mashur or musahhar. They said, you are even sorcerer, either you are sorcerers or being bewitched. And this is how they tried to justify their actions.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qum.
So, the former verses contain the benevolent and reasonable logic of Prophet Salih in the face of those deviated groups of people. Now, these holy verses deliver the logic of those people. The verses declare, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُسَحَّرِينَ. They said, you are only of the bewitched ones. Moreover, they used to say that their prophet was a human being like them, and no intellect lets them follow and obey such a mortal. So they demanded him a proper sign. مَا أَنْتَ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You are no more than a mortal like us. So, this is how they try to justify their actions, their misbehaviors and misdeeds. And this is something far worse than the sin itself, justifying the sin. They were supposed to obey the order of their prophets when he said, أطيعون, but they tried to justify it. They said, you are of the bewitched, you are من المسحرين, and that's why you are not qualified for being our leader. We are not going to follow you because you are bewitched. We will continue in the next episodes our discussion more. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
when faith begins.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is Zainab, and today we're going to discuss something very important with Professor Naqavi. Professor Naqavi is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University. Dear listeners, in this program, we try to answer your questions and issues that you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny. Well, Professor Naqavi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome. Well, since I'm from the Asian culture, so I would like to ask the question from the same culture, what happens when it comes to upbringing? What used to happen in the ignorant Arab times was that a girl child was burned alive. But then Prophet came, Islam came, and things changed. Prophet used to get up to respect his daughter. And however, people practiced things for some time, but in some cultures, those ignorant things remained, like in the Asian culture. In our culture, whenever there's a girl child born and a boy, a girl is equal to dowry and a boy is equal to assets. And that's how it goes since they are born. There are no equal rights in the upbringing. What do you comment on that?
Yes, thank you very much. It's a very good question. Just as we talk about freedom, which is made, teenagers especially are looking for freedom. Also, teenagers are looking for equality. They talk about equal rights, especially girls. Why don't we have the same rights as men, as boys? Why do we have to observe the hijab? Men don't have to observe hijab or whatever. So many things that they present these things as excuses for not being, for not acting according to the commands of Islam. Now, when we are faced as parents with these questions, we need to realize ourselves and make our children understand. The issue of equality is there when it comes to becoming godly and God-fearing. There's no distinction between a man and a woman. If one wants to traverse the path towards Allah Almighty and gain excellence and become godly and become and adopt the attributes of Allah Almighty in his practice, in his or her daily practices, or becoming making a personality which is close to God Almighty, there's no difference in men and women. Yeah. They have equal choice, they have equal opportunities to do the service to God, to service to mankind, to carry out their responsibilities. Women, girls, they can, if they remain at home and serve their family and serve their husband and take care of their husbands, they will be actually gaining proximity to Allah Almighty. So there are equal opportunities to go towards Allah Almighty. So our children must understand if there's a difference in men and women, girls and boys, it's something which is in the nature of mankind. If there was no, there were no two sexes or two genders, then how would the human race have
continued
and progressed? So it's something natural. So as far as equality is concerned, equal chances and opportunities to reach out to Allah there. But when it comes to responsibilities and when it comes to rights, they are, they may not be equal, but they are based on equilibrium and adl and justice.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that.
Yes, we can discuss more after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Nakavi, and we're discussing about the equal rights, equal choices given to a boy and a girl in terms of upbringing. Professor Nakavi, as you were saying, that there's no difference in the genders when it comes to about the proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both can achieve, both can have, and we have seen in history, like Lady Maryam, Lady Fatima Zahra salam alayha, and Lady Asiya. So we have seen that these great women have achieved that proximity. They even used to talk to angels, and so this shows us that God has given some super right, some very good right to women, which is lacking in our upbringing and in our societies.
Exactly. So nowadays, maybe many girls would be thinking, would be saying, oh, why shouldn't we go out to work? Why should we work, remain at in the house and take care of the house and household
chores?
Actually,
why should we be restricted?
Why should we be restricted? So that's an issue of free freedom also. That's an issue of equality also. As I said before, basically we have to carry our freedom and equality. Everything is for the sake of preserving and maintaining human dignity. Karamna bani Adam. That is very important. We should realize that as parents, as children, we need to make us realize and make our children realize that everything is for the sake of preserving human dignity. Dignity which is embedded in godliness, which is embedded in God-fearing, being God-fearing and virtuous. And therefore, girls should understand, should realize, of course, Islam does not forbid women from working, making an earning on their own. Even Bibi Fatima had her own property. She used to even, like Bibi Khadija. Bibi Khadija, salamullah alayha, she was a businesswoman.
Business tycoon.
Yes, so there's freedom of property, everything is there in Islam. But as far as the responsibilities are concerned, to the family, there are different responsibilities. The man is the bread earner, the woman, the lady is the manager of the household. They have to work in harmony and unison. If the ladies are going out to work also, then the problem is who's going to manage the internal affairs of the house, who's going to manage the children, who's going to bring them up. So that's a grave issue. Of course, again, political responsibilities are there for women. It's not that ladies and girls should not go out to carry out their political responsibilities in establishing the Islamic Republic or the Islamic State or whatever is necessary in the political affair. Just as Lady Fatima Salaam Allah Aleyha went to defend the Imam institution of Imamat and Imam Ali, not because he was her husband, because he was the imam
of the time.
Yes. So social responsibilities, welfare responsibilities for the welfare of the society, everything is there for women folk to carry out. But as far as relations between man and woman and children goes, the gravest of responsibilities lies on the shoulders of the lady.
Yeah. We'll discuss more on this important topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
Ya muqiyal khayrat.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Nakavi, and we're discussing about equal rights that should be taken care in terms of upbringing. Professor Nakavi, I was reading something last night about Lady Fatima Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when I came across the fact that she came out and she gave sermons, the historical sermons, in the mosque, and there was a difference between men and her, and there was some coverings, there was some shields. So, however, she carried out her social responsibility very, very, I must say, very wisely. And the line that was written after that was that Islam is not against expressing your defense, expressing your social responsibilities, carrying out your responsibilities. What it is against is your show off. So do you think when parents need to restrict their girl children, they need to restrict their girl child, should they restrict only in terms of showing off their body or also in terms of their responsibilities? Don't you think here the parents go wrong?
Yes, importantly, they should be allowing the girls to become aware of their responsibilities to society, to in their neighborhood, in their wherever they are going for studying or whatever. And as responsible citizens of society, they need to be trained. And who can do that the best? The mother can do that. Of course, the husband, the father, plays an important role, but because of he's out most of the time trying to earn a living for the household, he is responsible for that. In the marriage contract, the responsibility falls upon the husband to take care of the family. So therefore, he is outside most of the time. So who is going to manage the household is the lady. That is a very grave responsibility. And if she carries it out properly and teaches her children to be aware socially, politically, carrying out the responsibilities, and especially the girls are taught to be good house managers, good wives, they will be gaining proximity to Allah Almighty quite easily. It's quite difficult for a man to become, in his responsibilities towards the family at least, it's a very difficult, a very
exactly.
hard...
Exactly, it's also mentioned in the narrations that The jihad for man is outside, in the field, in the war, in the battlefield. However, the jihad for women is inside.
So much easier.
Yeah.
So much easier. Of course. Now, when there are responsibilities, there are rights. You can't have responsibilities without having the rights. If you do not have the authority to do something, you don't have the rights to do something, then how can you carry out your responsibilities? Wherever there's a responsibility falling upon you, there are certain rights that you have. There are certain, you have the authority to be able to implement your words and your commands. You have to be listened to, so you can carry out this. So if there's a difference between responsibilities and rights, between men and women, between girls and boys, it's because the more the responsibility, the more the rights you have.
All right.
To be able to exercise and carry out that responsibility. So we need to understand the framework Islam is providing. Number one, human dignity is the most important factor. Freedom is for that human demand.
Dignity.
Dignity. And equality, or more correctly, justice, equilibrium, balancing things is another thing for the sake of human dignity.
All right. So, inshallah, may Allah give all parents this capability to carry out this upbringing equally, be it a boy, be it a girl. Because there's no differentiation, there's no racism in Islam. Thank you so much, Professor Nakavi, for your beautiful words. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any message for us, any questions, any feedback, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also listen to this program again by logging into our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/en. There's a tab, COI, Call of Islam, wherein you can find our old programs. Well, you can also find us on these social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Imam Ali, peace upon him, the multidimensional genius. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and heartiest felicitations to you all on one of the most blessed days of the year. Today is the 13th of Rajab, on which God Almighty's symbolic house in Mecca, the Holy Kaaba, came alive. It is the day when the most sanctified place on planet Earth became the site of birth of a person who was God's most exalted creation after Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. To be more precise, today we are celebrating the birthday of the commander of the faithful, the leader of the pious, the symbol of justice, the epitome of valor, the model of magnanimity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, the divinely designated vicegerent of the Seal of Messengers. Please stay with us for an exclusive program in this regard. Allah collected from hard, soft, sweet and sour earth, clay which he dripped in water till it got pure, and kneaded it with moisture till it became gluey. From it he carved an image with curves, joints, limbs, and segments. He solidified it until it dried up for a fixed time and a known duration. Then he blew into it out of his spirit, whereupon it took the pattern of a human being with mind that governs him, intelligence which he makes use of, limbs that serve him, organs that change his position, sagacity that differentiates between truth and untruth, tastes and smells, colors and species. He is a mixture of clays of different colors, cohesive materials, divergent contradictories, and differing properties like heat, cold, softness, and hardness, grief, and joy. What you heard is a vividly detailed description of the finest form of creation by God Almighty, that is, Adam, the father of the human race. Yet, this is not a passage from God's final revelation, the Noble Quran, or from any other previously revealed heavenly scripture. Then, whose words are these that draw for us the perfect picture of the creation of Adam by the one and only Creator? A good question indeed. Since we are on the threshold of the 13th of Rajab, the day on which was born in the holy Kaaba built by Adam when he was sent on earth, one of the greatest sons of Adam. After recounting how Iblis, the genie, was cast out as Satan from the assembly of the angels for disobeying God's command to prostrate to Adam, the person who has given such a remarkable description of the first man's creation and the purpose of creation informs us in one of his famous sermons in the book Nahjul Balagha. Therefore, Allah made Adam dwell in a house where he made his life pleasant and his stay safe, and he cautioned him of Iblis and his enmity. Then his enemy, Iblis, envied his abiding in paradise. So he changed his conviction into wavering and determination into weakness. He thus covered his happiness into fear and his prestige into shame. Then Allah offered to Adam the chance to repent, taught him words of his mercy, promised him return to his paradise, and sent him down to the place of trial and procreation of progeny. The passages that we recited to you are self-explanatory, and they inform us of the choosing of prophets from the progeny of Adam for the guidance of human societies towards God, truth, salvation, and paradise. As the peerless person whose birth anniversary we are celebrating today says, Allah never allowed his creation to remain without a prophet deputized by him, or a book sent down from him, or a binding argument. In this way, ages passed by and times rolled on till Allah deputized Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as his last prophet in fulfillment of his promise. We are then told that the Prophet of Islam, while departing from the mortal world, left behind God's final revelation, the Noble Quran, along with his Immaculate Ahlul Bayt, as beacons of guidance for human societies, and popularly known as the Thaqalain, or the two priceless things. The identity and name of the person who enlightens our minds with such a vast ocean of facts should now be clear to us, because no one else was born in the Holy Kaaba except Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, the first cousin, ward, son-in-law, and divinely designated vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He was indeed the prime source for the mission of the Seal of Messengers, as well as the accounts of the prophets of the past, including the reasons for the casting out of Iblis as Satan and Adam's error that brought him down to earth. Then how come he so vividly describes Adam's creation from different forms of clay, to the amazement of scholars and scientists alike, as if he was an eyewitness to the whole process of evolution? It is here that the famous hadith of the Prophet of Islam comes to our rescue, when he says, I was the Prophet when Adam was in the state of water and clay. The Prophet also has said, I and Ali are created of the same light. Another hadith says God created the light of Imam Ali, peace upon him, thousands of cosmic years before Adam's creation. Now, it should be clear that Prophet Muhammad and Imam Ali, peace upon them, were not ordinary humans, although they were descendants of Adam. They were, in fact, beings of celestial light that God Almighty created before creating the universe. Here, it will be repetitive to go into details of the miraculous parting of the walls of the Kaaba and their closing moments later on, the 13th of Rajab, to allow Fatima bint Asad, peace upon her, of the monotheist Hashemite clan to enter its hallowed precincts, as she implored the Lord Most High to ease her pangs of delivery. The Arab pagans, who had polluted the primordial house of monotheism with idols, were flabbergasted. They tried to break the door with crowbars, but the locks and the wooden beams held steadfast. 3 days later, the Arab idolaters were again stupefied when the same miracle occurred at the Kaaba, as its walls parted and closed to allow Fatima bint Asad, peace upon her, to step out with a radiant boy in her arms. To the further bewilderment of the heathen Arabs, a calm and unperturbed Abu Talib stood at hand to smilingly greet his virtuous wife. Along with him was his nephew, the son of Abdullah, his deceased brother, who gently stepped forward to take into his arms his infant cousin. It was then that the baby boy opened his eyes. As the eyes of the two cousins caught each other, There were smiles of acquaintance on both the faces, as if the two were meeting after a period of separation. The sight was indeed dazzling, as light mirrored light. The infant moved his lips and seemed to be expressing voiceless words when the elder cousin whispered something in his tender ears. Here is a famous saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O Ali, Allah has created me and you from his light. He created Adam and put that light into Adam. This light reached Abdul Muttalib and then it split. Thus, I was in Abdullah and you were in Abu Talib. Nubuwwah, that is prophethood, does not befit anyone other than me. While Velayat, that is the office of the vicegerent, does not befit anyone other than you. Whoever denies your vicegerency denies my prophethood. And whoever denies my prophethood, Allah will throw him down on his nose into the fire. These words are ample proof of the peerless position of Imam Ali, peace upon him. No wonder the Prophet had said, I and Ali are the fathers of this Ummah. This does not mean biological fathers, but it means spiritual fathers, since without faith in these two enlightened personalities, a person is neither a Muslim nor the one who has completely submitted to God, let alone considered a mu'min or the one who has attained true and perfect belief. This is the reason the Islamic Republic of Iran every year celebrates the birthday of Imam Ali, peace upon him, as Father's Day, in order to make its citizens better fathers for the proper grooming of children as per the guidelines of the Prophet and the infallible Imams. A brief radio program cannot properly describe the multidimensional personality of Imam Ali, peace upon him, the person who transcends history and historical developments. He embodied all such excellent qualities as piety, patience, prudence, bravery, generosity, magnanimity, modesty, wisdom, knowledge, justice, insight, eloquence of speech, etc., to the extent that humanity will forever remain indebted to him. No wonder the Prophet has said, whoever wants to see Adam in his knowledge, Noah in his resolve, Abraham in his prudence, Moses in his awe, and Jesus in his piety, should look at Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. The late Christian scholar of Lebanon, George Jordagh, has written a series of excellent books on Imam Ali, peace upon him, calling him the voice of human justice. After discussing in detail the thoughts and teachings of the Greek scholars, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, George Jordagh has focused upon the dynamics taught to humanity by Imam Ali, peace upon him, and hailed him as the greatest of them all. This Christian writer has written a separate book on the French Revolution in which he says, What Imam Ali, peace upon him, taught to mankind over a millennium ago is more elaborate and humanitarian than the libraries and civil rights that emerged in Europe and the West. Imam Ali, peace upon him, formulated such firm rules and presented such solid views for the rights of the human beings and the welfare of the human society that their roots penetrate the depth of the earth while their branches extend up to the sky. All the social sciences prevalent at present mostly confirm these views and principles. Although these modern social sciences may be given many times and may be presented in various forms, their object is one. It means the human being should be protected from oppression and there should be formed a society which should protect human rights in a better way. A society in which human dignity should be respected and the freedom of world and action should be safe to such an extent that none is hurt. Imam Ali, peace upon him, had clearly understood that it will be very dangerous to divide the people into two classes and to prefer one of them to another. This will retard the intellects, create malice in the spirits, and introduce oppression and injustice in the judgments and transactions, and all sorts of mischiefs and corruptions will appear. The result will be that ambition for life will die and the people will become pessimistic and entertain ill will towards one another. Consequently, ruin will descend on the society. So long as the two classes exist in a society, a conflict between them is inevitable and it will involve the loss of many lives. We once again congratulate our listeners on the birthday of the person who, when he once saw an old Christian begging on the streets, had pension fixed for him from the public treasury after chiding officials for leaving a non-Muslim destitute after he had worked all his life. Before we bid goodbye, here is a wonderful saying from Imam Ali, peace upon him, that shows his absolute cognizance of God. By Allah, even if I am given all the domains of the seven climes with all that exists under the skies, in order that I may disobey Allah to the extent of snatching one grain of barley from an ant, I would not do it. For me, your world is lighter than the leaf in the mouth of a locust that is chewing it. What has Ali to do with bounties that will pass away and pleasures that will not last? We do seek protection of Allah from the slip of wisdom and the evils of mistakes, and from Him we seek succor.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.